All right, my name is Kevin. I'm one of the elders here, as you heard from Chris. Pastor Dave, our senior pastor, is on sabbatical. It's very exciting. So for the next 6 weeks, we get to hear from a variety of preachers. I'm very excited. We're going to hear Chris preach here in several weeks, and that's a treat if you haven't heard him preach yet. And so stick around. So I get to kick off Dave's sabbatical sermon series. Or really, we're just continuing his series in Colossians that he had started a couple weeks ago. So there's nothing new, just different people. I do want to encourage you to continue to pray for Pastor Dave as he's away for the next 6 weeks. This is a planned time off that he got to take, just kind of separating from everything and having some time away to rest. Hold on, I wrote it with alliteration so he would be proud. Rest, write, and renew. I thought that was pretty good. Dave really likes alliteration, so I went for it. So keep praying for him that this would be a restful time where he can write and be renewed over the next 6 weeks. He's kind of traveling, going to some different places, and spending some time just dedicated to those things. So I'm very excited for him. And and then he'll be back. And we get to hear from a variety of different preachers. So very excited about that. All right, so today is Father's Day. I also want to say thank you to all the dads who are loving your kids and caring for your kids, teaching them about Jesus. I want to say thank you to all the biological dads who are caring for your kids, for all those of you who have adopted or fostered and brought people into your home. That's a dad. Thank you for that. And for those of you who don't have your own children but have become like a spiritual father and cared for other people, thank you for that too. And I want to encourage you to keep going. Fathering, dadding is a lot of work. It can be very exhausting. I've got four kids myself. That meant, about 8 years or so of very little sleep. Thank you. Yes. Now I have four teenagers, so I get some sleep, and so it's getting better. No, they're great. I have great kids. But I want to encourage you to keep going. Keep praying for your kids. Keep teaching them the word of God. Keep caring for them. It is worth it. It is a long race, but it is so very worth it. So keep going. All right. This week, like I said, we are continuing our sermon series on Paul's letter to the Colossians titled Jesus Over Everything. And this week we're in chapter 1, verses 15 through 20. And our sermon series is titled, or sermon for today is titled The Preeminence of Christ. So if you have your Bible, if you brought it with you, go ahead and open to Colossians chapter 1. If you didn't bring a Bible with you, there should be one underneath the seat in front of you. If you don't have a Bible, you're welcome to take that one home, and that can be your Bible. When you fill out the Connect card, you can also grab a mug. So you can go away with a mug and a Bible today. Happy Father's Day. Although you can do that every week, so that's not even in the notes. All right, so as we look at the preeminence of Christ, my hope is to define that word, because that's not a word that we use very often in our day-to-day speech, and two, to show from what the scripture here is saying, to show this preeminence, to show you the greatness of who Jesus Christ is. As we get into that, I want to ask a few questions first. You don't have to answer out loud, but if you do, it's also okay. So question one, what is the most important thing to you? What is most important? I guess these are more thinking questions than answering. Although when I ask the youth, they tend to answer out loud, middle schoolers especially. What is the most important thing? What do you spend the most of your time thinking or daydreaming about? What are your plans for yourself? What are your hopes? What are you hoping for? What do you spend your money on? What do you spend your time on? What occupies most of your thought? If you were to fill in the blank, if I had blank, then that would be enough, or then that would be success. What do you want most for your kids? What do you think about most for them? What are your biggest hopes? So a lot of people, I think, in our culture find themselves thinking about money. If I just had more money, then that would be enough. Then I could I could relax and say, okay, I'm okay now. I've made it. I can focus on other things. If I just had more money. And there's a cool quote. Billionaire John Rockefeller was asked how much money is enough. And he famously said, just a little bit more. Right? And then that tends to be how we look at money. If I just had a little bit more, and yet it never satisfies. In our time of social media and YouTube fame, a lot of people want to be influencers, have influence. I want people to know me and to listen to me, right? I want the likes. I want likes. I want clicks. What do you want in life? What do you think about? What occupies your time? A lot of people want power, right? Don't we want power? To be the master of my own domain. I want to be in charge, to be respected. The picture I pulled for this one was, this is from the movie Aladdin. A couple millennials in here, right? All right, I grew up watching this. This is Jafar, the evil sorcerer, and for his third wish, he wished to be the most powerful genie in the world. And then you can see the little gold bracelets, which he didn't know also comes with itty-bitty living space. That's right. And he goes back into the lamp. He wanted power. He wanted control, right? And we can look at that and laugh, and yet so often we want our own power and control, don't we? You know, there's more than 100 road rage murders in America every year because how dare you cut in front of my car, right? How dare you? Don't get out of my way. Like, we think of ourselves and our little kingdom is so important and such a big deal. And I don't know, it's just not. Some of you might say very good things. What do you want in life? I want to have a loving family, right? I want to have good kids. I want to help people. That's great. That's a good thing. It's still missing something. The Westminster Confession, which was dated in 1646, and what something we hold to here at Grace Bible Church, asks the question, what is the chief end of man? What is man's purpose? What is our purpose in life? And answers the question saying, the chief end is to glorify God and enjoy him forever. And I love that. Glorify God and enjoy him forever. In our own church's constitution, yes, I did look this up, the first point of our church's purpose is we believe Scripture calls us as Grace Bible Church to delight in Christ as the head of his church. We exist to glorify God, and everything we do has his glory as its origin and goal. Jesus over everything. So as we look at the passage today, I hope to show you again how Jesus is preeminent, how he is over all things. Preeminent means he is supreme, he is first, he is pre, he is over, greater than, better than, larger than, more important than, more glorious than everything. So I want to show how Jesus is preeminent in three ways. One, that he is the creator of all. Two, that he is first before all. And three, that he is reconciler. And I understand that first is also part of preeminent, but it goes. All right, so let's get into our passage. Colossians 1, 15 through 20. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in everything he might be preeminent. For in him, Jesus, in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of his cross. This is the word of God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the scripture. Thank you for your words that are true, that are right, that are good. Help us see them correctly. correctly. Help us understand more about who Jesus is, about how great Jesus is. Help us love him more because of that. And may it change our lives as we go. God, be glorified here this morning as we dive into your text. Spirit, open our minds to understand and help us hear and see what you would have us hear and see today. It's for your beautiful name we pray. Amen. So our passage this morning is quite possibly the most Christ-exalting passage in all of Scripture. It is a fun one. I thought about just singing it because it's kind of one of those things that Paul wrote. It's just this beautiful Christ-exalting passage. I was very excited when I got the text message asking if I wanted to do this passage. Now, there's some other really, really great Christ-exalting passages. I'm going to read them too because, hey, this is the supremacy of Christ. And so we see some similar things in John chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything that was made. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory. Glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. That's pretty Christ-exalting, and that's great. Colossians. I love Colossians. All right, there's another one in Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 1. Hebrews starts off verse 2 through 4. In these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed the heir of all things. That's Jesus. Through whom also he created the world. He is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of his nature, and he upholds the universe by the word of his power. After making purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high, having become as much superior to angels as the name he has inherited is more excellent than theirs. Oh, beautiful. That's our Jesus. There are several others, but the passage we have here in Colossians is so supremely lifts up Christ. And it gets so specific in how it exalts Christ, and that's what I want to dive into today. All right, so let's go. We're going to go line by line here, Colossians 1, 15 through 20. So 15, he is the image of the invisible God. This means God is spiritual in nature, right? God the Father is spiritual. He is invisible. We can't see him. How do we know what God looks like? Jesus. Jesus is the physical, visible representation of God. You want to know what God looks like, acts like, cares about? We look to Jesus. Jesus is the image of the invisible God. He is the firstborn of all creation. This one was a little bit tricky to me because I see firstborn and I think, well, that means he's created. And yet if we look at the Greek word prototokos, I don't know much Greek, but I learned that one this week. The word can be used to mean firstborn, or can really, it means to carry the rank of first. So we have a lot of soldiers in here. You'll have different ranks. I think we can all agree the rank of first is better. It's first. He's first, right? He's higher. Higher than everything. So he is the firstborn over all creation. He is first among everything. For by him all things were created. Jesus created everything. Everything was created by him. Paul repeats a word here in this passage a lot and a lot in his other texts. He repeats this word all. And the Greek word for all simply means all. There's not another definition. It's everything, right? All things. So what did Jesus create? All things, yes. He created all things. That was actually one of the, I got to serve an impact over the past couple weeks. Crazy awesome time. Kids, teenagers can be a lot, but they can be a lot of fun. And I just want to encourage you. That's not in the notes either. Just an aside. Sign up, volunteer for impact. It's really great. One of the questions that they repeat in their gospel presentations, they talk about Jesus. They talk about God as creator. And they talk about what are some things God created? Right, he created the trees. Usually a kid says, he created my dog, right? I like to say turtles. He created turtles. He created all things, all things. Everything. Everything that is was created by God. He created all things that are not God. This does not mean he himself was created. Jesus was in existence before all things were created. He is God. And he created everything that is not God. As we look at the preeminence, the supremacy of Christ, what sticks in my mind is what obviously makes him the most supreme is he spoke things into existence. Right? Are there any inventors or creators in here? Nope. Okay, cool. My son does that. He likes to invent or craft little things. And really, when we invent things, all we're doing is reassembling things that already exist, right? We're not making new things. Jesus spoke. He spoke, and things existed that were not there before. The picture I grabbed, which I learned in the first service is really hard to see, is you see the waves, and then there's sand. It's a beach. Use your imagination. The beach, every grain of sand, every small little grain of sand spoken into existence. And the Milky Way, all the stars and planets that we look at through telescopes because they're so far away, spoken into existence. That is the supremacy of Christ. The only one who can do that. He speaks and things happen. There was a funny story I heard. First service, my dad was here, and so I got to say, hey, here's a funny story my dad told me when I was a kid. There was a scientist that was shaking his fist at God and saying, God, we don't need you anymore. We can do everything you do. We can even create life. And so God said, okay, well, create some life for me. And so the scientist bends down to scoop up a handful of dirt to get started, and God goes, oh, no, get your own dirt, right? Because all we do is reassemble. He speaks, and things are. He spoke the universe into existence. And I know I say this a lot because I've tried to wrap my brain so many times around this. There was nothing, and he spoke. Paul continues in more detail about what Jesus created. He created all things in heaven and on earth. So this is things that we have here now, present, past, and what will be in the future. And he created things that will be here for eternity. He is not limited in his creation by time or decay or dust, rust. He's not limited. He created all things visible and invisible. This is not just things that we can see or things that we can hear. He created spiritual things as well. He created angels. Everything that is was created by him, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, he created them. We read last week in Colossians 1:13 that Jesus rescued us from the dominion of darkness. Christ created all domains. He didn't create them to be evil, but he created all powers, all authorities, and he rescued us in that. He created all things. We are utterly and totally dependent on Jesus Christ. So he made all things, and the question is why? Why did God create all these things? And Paul tells us very clearly, all things were created through him and for him. He created all things for himself to display his own glory, his own splendor, his own supremacy. He created out of this abundance, this overflow of his greatness, that we might see him, we might enjoy him, we might love him. He created us. He created all things for that. So this is good news for us because we have a purpose, right? He created us that we will glorify him. Not that we will build our own little kingdom of ourselves that is so fragile and frail that can fall apart with a phone call. He created us that we might worship him, we might glorify him, we might know him. We might have fullness of joy in our relationship with him. We have a purpose. And it's easy to wrestle with God on this, right? It's easy to wrestle. How much do I want life to be about me? And we can sit and we can read and we can hear and we can sing songs and then we can go home and forget all about them, right? We're going to go home today. We're going to watch the World Cup. We're going to eat some good food, maybe take a nap. And it's so easy for us to get back and just do our own little thing and have God here on the side. Because we like our little kingdom, and that is not who God is. He is not on the side. He is everything. Our lives aren't so unimportant as to make it about ourselves. We have purpose. We have been created with the purpose of knowing the creator of the universe on such an intimate level, to know him, to love him. He is supreme over all things as creator. Next, we look at Jesus as first. Jesus is preeminent. He is first. He takes the first position among all things. Verse 17, he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. Jesus is before all things. He existed before all things created. Again, he is. And in him all things hold together. Like it says in Hebrews, he upholds the universe by the word of his power. Now, this means that whether you believe in Jesus or not, you are utterly and totally dependent on him just to be held together. We are dependent on Christ every second of every day. And our feeble belief does not change any of that. He holds all things together. He keeps us alive. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead. Jesus is the reason we're here today. He is the head of his church. He is creating a new people for himself, us. And his resurrection was the first of all of his people. We will follow him into eternity, that in all things he might be preeminent. Why did God create everything? So in all things, he might be preeminent. He might be first. He might be supreme. His greatness and majesty and splendor would be on display for all the world to see. He is the one who in Revelation is sang about with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing. To him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be blessing and honor and glory and might forever and ever." Jesus is supreme over all things. Throughout the Bible and all of God's interactions with his people, he is consistently desiring the love of his people. The first commandment, "Have no other gods before me." When Jesus is asked what the greatest commandment is, he says, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the greatest, and this is the great and first commandment. And the second is like it, love your neighbor as yourself." He creates us, he shows himself to be first and supreme, and he invites us to love. Not a robotic love, not a forced to love. Love. We love love. That's what he made us for, to love him. Jesus is not okay being second in your life. Our purpose is to create him, our purpose is to enjoy him. He created us to enjoy him with every fiber of our being. He demands supremacy in our lives, our all. The picture here that I got is Jesus and this rich young man. So we can see a clear example of when Jesus is not first in your life. So the young man comes to Jesus and he says, "Teacher, what good deed must I do to have eternal life?" And Jesus says, "Well, why do you ask me about what is good? There's only one who is good. If you would enter life, keep the commandments." So the young man says, "Which ones?" Jesus said, "Okay, well, you shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness. Honor your father and mother. and you shall love your neighbor as yourself. The young man said, all these I have kept. I've done all the right things. What still do I lack? Jesus said, if you would be perfect, go, sell what you possess and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And come, follow me. And when the young man heard this, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Jesus demanded to be first. He told him, you will have treasure in heaven. And the young man went away sorrowful, clinging to his things. And it's easy for us to criticize, to look at that and say, well, how could you not respond to Jesus when he's talking to you? And yet again, time and time again in our own lives, don't we respond the same way? Jesus, you can have all these areas of my life, but don't touch this over here, right? Don't touch my time. Don't touch my leisure, my recreation, my relaxing. Don't touch my screen time, my money, my work. This is my thing. God, you can have all this. Jesus is not on your list of priorities of things you care about. He is the paper on which you make the list. He is worthy of being the lens by which you view the world, not one of the things you view when it's convenient. Jesus is first among all things, the supreme creator. We continue verse 19. For in him, Jesus is reconciler. Sorry, third point. For in him the fullness of God was pleased to dwell. Jesus is indeed God, Paul says it again. And he didn't come to earth out of pity or regret, feeling bad for us. He came for the joy set before him. Verse 20, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of his cross. You who were once enemies, hostile in nature towards God, have been brought near by the blood of the Lamb. Have been reconciled, have been given peace. 2 Corinthians 5 says it this way, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away, behold, the new has come. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake, he made him to be sin, who knew no sin, so that him we might become the righteousness of God. We had no hope because of our own sin, and now have eternal life through Christ Jesus. Preeminent, the supreme. The picture I got here is also from a movie. This is from Home Alone. And this is one of my favorite parts. The movie can be silly and funny, but we have Kevin reached out to his old man neighbor and said, hey, why don't you at least talk to your estranged son, right? Why don't you be reconciled? And then we got to see the result at the end where he gets to hold his granddaughter. He gets to love and he gets to be loved. That's what reconciliation is. You who were far off have been brought together. And that's what Jesus offers us. That's what God offers us in Christ. Jesus is supreme even over our own sin and our punishment for our sin. He is supreme above all things. So what does this mean to me? Why does all this matter? Why does the preeminence of Christ have any bearing on my life? How does this help me? So Paul wrote this to the church in Colossae, to the Colossian church, because they had false teaching. False teaching was starting to seep in. They were being constantly bombarded by false teachers. Sounds like today, right? Not much has changed. Maybe the exact message has changed, but we still get it all the time. We're being hit by false teaching left and right. John Piper calls this passage specifically a theological vaccine against false teaching about who Jesus is. You want to be able to cling to Jesus? See him as supreme. Seeing Jesus correctly as the preeminent one protects us when we are being persuaded to believe false teaching. If we fail to embrace a Christ that is big enough, we will be easily swayed by talk that sounds good. Don't be pulled away. Paul writes his prayer for the Colossians earlier in chapter 1. He says, "So from the day we heard, we have not ceased to pray for you, asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might for all endurance and patience with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance in the saints of light." Church, this is good news. Being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might for endurance and patience with joy. We get joy. Why does the supremacy of Christ matter in my everyday life? Because God wants me to endure all things with joy. Because I can endure all things with joy. The preeminence, the supreme nature of Jesus, who he is, and what he has done means we can endure all things with joy, giving thanks to God the Father. Our whole purpose is to glorify God and enjoy him forever. And Paul is pleading, see Jesus correctly. See Jesus for who he is. It's the same thing for us. I pray all the time that I will see Jesus for who he really is. The preeminence of Christ on display here in this passage also means I can trust the salvation that he offers because he is the only one who can offer it. He created all things. His blood on the cross does reconcile. We can have real joy that will cause us to say, "To him be blessing and honor and glory and might forever and ever. We who were far off are brought near to Christ." This is the good news. So as you go your way today, as you remember your own earthly father, hopefully honor him, I would encourage you, don't try not to fall into the same old rut. I know it's hard. We have consistent Mondays tomorrow, and we look at that, and it's so easy to lose sight of the greatness of who Jesus is, the one who made peace with us, reconciling us by his blood. I want to encourage you, reread this. Pray this. Pray that you would see Christ for who he is. This supreme one loves you more than you can ever possibly understand. He has made peace. Let us pray. Father, thank you. Thank you for your word that is true. God, thank you that you sent your own son to die on the cross for our sin, taking our punishment, that you made him who knew no sin to become sin on our behalf, that we might become the righteousness of God. Father, help us as we go this week to see Christ as supreme, as preeminent, as great. God, help us endure all things with joy, clinging to Christ. For you are ultimately good, and thank you for your goodness towards us. It's for your beautiful name we pray. Amen.